Carol. Changing this one.
Good evening. I'd like to call to order our special meeting and open session on Monday, November 13, 2006, here in McDaniel's Auditorium. First item on our agenda is approval of minutes dated September 18, 2006.
Move approval.
Second.
We have a motion. We have a second by Ms. Severa. Discussion. Ms. Mathak.
I actually wanted to ask that we make a little bit of a change on page 4, where we talk about the discussion of when and where to talk about the implementation of the current equity policy. And I just feel like it ought to be a couple things should be clarified. One is that the agenda was added to the This item was agenda, added to the board's agenda at the request that there actually was a 5-7 member request that the item be added to the agenda. And also, I believe we clarified that this would be part – oh, never mind. I think we did that at a later meeting. That's the one thing I would add. I'd ask that we add to that page.
If I remember the conversation, there wasn't a vote. It was just everyone saying that they wanted it on the agenda. So that's
right. And I just think it'd be nice to reflect that five of the board members requested that. That's the only thing I have.
I don't know either. Mr. Sherrod, I'm going to ask for your legal opinion. And the motion in the minutes of September 18, 2006, we have in the minutes, now, and I don't know if you remember this, that Ms. Mathiak had asked for... Okay, I want to get this right. Had made a motion about the current equity policy and to direct the administration to implement or enforce the policy. I ruled that it was out of order, and Ms. Robarts, seconded by Ms. Mathiak, asked to overturn the ruling of the president. Then we went through a discussion phase, and we did discuss this with all of the board members. And the board members made comments on it. And then the minutes reflect that President Winston agreed to include the item on the board's agenda for next week. Ms. Robarts withdrew her motion to the challenge to the ruling of the president. Ms. Mathiak withdrew her second. Should there be anything added related to the board asking about, or was there an official vote, or what we just said? We just kind of went around and people said that they would want to put it on the agenda. So I didn't look at that as an official vote.
but I don't know. That's up to.
Because the motion was ruled out of order, it doesn't require any action to be taken on the motion.
Okay, Ms. Robards, Ms. Kubza, Ms. Mathag.
A couple of things. As I understood the question, I don't think that was the question. I think what Ms. Mathiak has asked, on our minutes, we have in boldface what I think are the kinds of things that Robert's Rules requires us to have, what was moved, what was not moved, what was withdrawn, and so forth. But our minutes always include quite a bit of non-boldface material, which is some kind of stream of consciousness kind of summary of what goes on. I mean, you have all these statements, you know, the reader doesn't know who said it or when it was said or what it was in response to. I think all that Ms. Mathiak has asked is whether we couldn't add to that discussion section that prior to President Winston agreeing to include this item on the agenda, five of us separately requested that the item be put on the agenda. Why, would it be appropriate to put that in the non-bold-faced along with everything else?
Yeah, that happened at the meeting. I see no reason why it couldn't be included in the minutes.
Okay. Ms. Cubs?
I have nothing to add.
Ms. Mathai?
No. That's what I want.
Okay. All right. We do have that motion on the table of the amended minutes. Any other discussion on that? Joe, your advisory vote?
Aye.
The rest of the board, all those in favor of the amended minutes, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion passes. Number two, we have public appearances. We do have someone, Don Severson.
Thank you. Don Severson, representing Active Citizens for Education, and I'd like to speak to the budget item on the agenda, and more specifically to the aspect of Fund 80, the Community Services Fund. Due to discussion regarding the budget over the last month or so, it seems that confusion and lack of understanding about transfer of funds, use of funds, the practicality of the use of the funds seems to have increased, which prompts us to reiterate a call for an independent budget deliberation and approval and change processes. We would suggest that you separate in your motion of approval for the budget, the separation from the general operations budget and the Fund 80 budget. This needs to be done, I think, in order to provide clarity for the board itself, as well as clarity for the public as to exactly what it is you want to take place and how that fits with the requirements or the criteria of Fund 80. In a longer range kind of consideration, I think it's very appropriate to call for a long-term strategy to Fund 80. The board has not considered a long-term strategy with respect to the uses of Fund 80, the policies of Fund 80, and how those relate specifically to what the board's responsibilities are for oversight, and specifically for what the policies or directions would be for the administrative management of Fund 80. So we urge you to put on your agenda to do that kind of a long-term strategy. These budget considerations and budget decisions with respect to the Community Services Fund just absolutely has to be transparent, not only to you, but it has to be transparent to the public. And it has to be transparent in a way in which it is specific to what the policies of the board are, and specifically as how those relate to the criteria and to the regulations as put forth by the Department of Public Instruction. I urge you to get serious about that and appreciate your concern for it. Thank you.
Are there any questions of the speaker? Ms. Kobza?
I have motions before me. And they're really, I don't see very much that applies to Fund 80. Is there something in particular on the motions that are before us tonight?
Well, I think the most glaring situation is the use of the contingency fund and the transfer of monies from that contingency fund 80 to what it appears to fund 10 in the general operations budget. Now, if that's not the case, I'd certainly like to have that clarified. But how that's going to work and what the rationale for it is and how it relates to the specifics of the two funds would be very, very helpful.
Superintendent. Oh, I'm sorry.
But I guess we could take that question up when it comes time to this, because then I'll ask about that when we get to that.
That's
on
fine.
The budget.
That's fine.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Carstensen, I believe I saw your hand up. If you
no, I was just going to say I think that the only transfer is the payment from Fund 80 for use of facilities, and that's
that is correct.
Okay,
it's the payment of their use of the facilities.
So it's not it is.
It's not really a transfer. It's really a payment.
It's a payment.
Okay. Any other questions at all? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Item number 3 on our agenda are announcements, and there are 3 announcements, and I'll move through these quickly. A fundraiser for Kashia House will take place on November 13th through the 19th at the Taste of Asia restaurant located at 2817 East Washington Avenue. Orders can be placed to purchase Hmong egg rolls and Vietnamese spring rolls. Kashia House mission is to create a safe environment to promote well-being in the Hmong community. Congratulations to East Memorial High Schools for their participation in the state soccer tournament. This was East's first ever appearance at the state tournament. The Memorial Spartans were the eventual winner. Congratulations to both schools and to all students who have participated in all extracurricular activities this fall. On behalf of the board, I'd like to thank the Madison Metropolitan School District community for their passage of the referendum on November 7th. This referendum will build a new school in Linden Park, finance the addition to Leopold Elementary, and refinance existing debt. I want to thank our school board, staff members, concerned citizens, task forces, and many others for our schools and community working together. Item number 4 on our agenda is a recommendation, and I will turn it over to Ms. Kobza for the motions. Ms. Kobza.
Before I make this motion, are these numbers correct in our printed agenda? There looks, if you look
no,
at,
the,
and which number should it be?
Should be the 1 million.
Should be the 1 million? Okay. I move that the board amend the 2006-2007 budget by approving the specific revenue changes as set forth in chart number 2 in the total amount of $1,114,357. And by authorizing the specific expenditure changes as set forth in chart number 2 in the amount of $1,114,357.
Second.
We have a motion. We have a second by Ms. Severa. Discussion. Ms. Robarts, followed by Ms. Kobza.
I'm not sure whether this question will be appropriate for this particular motion or one farther down. But as I read this, one of the things that I didn't see or I don't know how to find would be the several hundred thousand dollars from the referendum that passed the other night that goes back into the operating budget, if I understood that referendum item.
That is not an adjustment that's presented on these forms, but the previous motion by the board would cause it to automatically go back. You've already allocated it back to contingency.
We said we would.
Yeah.
So we will need to come before us.
Okay. No.
Okay, we'll bring that back.
So then the motion, so it will go into the contingency fund?
That was the previous direction.
If we do a motion,
yeah.
It could go, but it's not accounted for in there. Okay, thank you.
It's still in the operating budget.
Right.
Ms. Kobza?
I would just ask, Roger, that you would explain real quickly chart number two and that it really just reflects.
Chart number two reflects the movement in the addition of funds that we receive in federal and state aids in the revenue side and then the corresponding expenditures that would add that to the, these amounts to the budget as well. And these are items and amounts that would be have been notified on or become aware of since the board adopted the budget in May.
So like a federal grant, and federal then there grant. Would be a corresponding federal or expenditure for that grant.
That's correct.
In the case of all of these, the money can only be expended for what the grant is for, so there's an offsetting expense in revenue.
And I guess the other question or just comment is that with regard to chart number two and Fund 80, the major change there is that we received a grant?
Yes. There's a $300,000 CLC grant that we've received since last May. That's reflected both revenue and expenditure. And the other small amount, the $1,688, is gifts and donations.
And those are the after-school programs?
Yes.
Any other discussion or questions on this? Okay. Joe, your advisory vote, please.
Aye.
The rest of the board, all those in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion passes. Ms. Kobza.
I move that the board amend the 2006-2007 budget by approving, as reflected in chart number three, the transfer of $300,000 of revenue from gifts and contributions from Fund 10 to Fund 21, reduction of the revenue for school-based accounts by $435,000, reduction of the expenditure for school-based accounts by $435,000. Oh, one is revenue, one is expenditures. Mm-hmm. Transfer of $75,000 from the object code of miscellaneous expenses in Fund 80 to the object code of transfer to Fund 10 in Fund 80, and transfer of the expenditure of $300,000 from gifts and contributions from Fund 10 to Fund 21.
Second.
We have a motion. We have a second by Mr. Vang. Discussion. Ms. Robarts.
I want to be sure I understand B and C of number five. Seems to be what we're saying is we didn't, as a result of the shortfall, we don't have $435,000 to be spent in school-based accounts, and we take it off both sides. Is that all we're doing
That's
there?
That's correct.
D, transferring $75,000 from miscellaneous expenses in Fund 80 to object code transfer to Fund 10 in Fund 80 means?
This is really a technical accounting adjustment because in order to pay the money, to move the money, to pay off the permits from MSCR, you have to make the accounting adjustment. It's budgeted in miscellaneous expenses. And what our accounting rules require is that we move that into the account that transfers, which is the transfer to Fund 10. Then it goes into Fund 10 as a revenue and an expense, I mean a revenue okay. coming in from MSCR. But the reason we're doing this is because we can't make that move under our accounting rules from miscellaneous expenses, which is where it's budgeted. We have to make that move from the account line for transfers. There's a specific interfund transfer line.
Well, and if I understand the transaction, give or take that length, you know, the various holding ponds or whatever that the money goes into, This is $75,000 that MSCR could have paid or should have paid for rent last year.
That's
that
correct.
Is now paying this year?
No, this is this year's amount.
This is this
another,
year's
there's
amount.
Another transaction under carryover under the FIT Chart 5
oh, okay.
that deals with the previous year's amount.
So this is a payment, a prospective, or what? This is what they will owe us for buildings for the current year.
Yes.
Thank you.
Any other discussion, Ms. Kubza?
So going back to that $75,000, is that the same amount we've budgeted in prior years, the
$75,000?
Yes. Okay. Going back to the school-based accounts, did I hear you say that it's because we didn't collect enough revenue?
It's because we won't have that level of revenue. We won't have those level of expenditures, what I thought I heard Mr. Robart saying, and so we reflect the change in both. It's a book entry that's made at the end of the year. And after we closed out this past year and had the transactions that took place in the buildings, and then in June they file a report with us that says we have these amount of revenues for field trips, and we expended these kind of expenditures, the same amount, for field trips. We booked the revenue and we booked the expenditure. The transaction or the amount that we anticipate that was part of building the budget was inflated. It was more than what the transactions that actually took place last year. This adjusted down
both revenues and expenses.
Both revenues and expenses.
So last year's number, or our budgeted numbers, were considerably higher than what we budgeted.
That's correct. In actually revenues and expenditures.
Okay.
Ms. Carson.
How much more?
Well, what is left, or the amount that's left?
The amount by which it was overestimated or inflated.
$435,000.
I guess my point is that this is an account which is really always a wash.
Yes.
Because it's essentially a placeholder for money to run through, and it comes in and goes out.
That's correct.
So whatever number it is, it doesn't really affect. We can't spend it. I mean, we can't spend it. It is spent at the school.
And it always reflects a balance of expenditures and revenues, just the way we book it.
But this number in here is not reflecting what happened last year.
No.
This is our projection. So it's just saying our projections now, in November, we're recognizing our projections from May were wrong.
Right.
We wanted to
That's
change
correct.
Those. So it's not even actual.
That's right.
Right. It's still. And all I'm saying is it could be any number. It doesn't really make much difference for.
We could have left it alone, and it would have misrepresented what the budget, expenditure budget, and revenue budget. But at the Stand end down. Of the result would have been the same. Revenues would have equaled expenditures.
Ms. Mathak.
I think that this is one of those areas where I get it in the sense that it's a theoretical number. It's a theoretical. We're going to take in this amount of money from families for field trips or whatever it's going to happen, and then we're going to spend that money because that's what we took it in for. I think one of the things, and this goes to the work we're doing on finance and operations, is the issue of terminology, because several times I get hung up in what it says on the charts and what it actually means. Or in this case, I looked at this revenue for school-based accounts, and what I didn't get out of that was the idea that this is money that the schools are collecting for specific purposes rather than grants or state money or tax revenue or some other form. And so if we can just sort of think as we go along of ways to clarify what that means, I think it would help everybody, including the public, when they try to figure out what you're actually telling us.
Yeah, we could rephrase the explanation. So it says collected in school-based accounts and spent in school-based accounts.
Ms. Roberts?
I'd just like to second that. I mean, I understand the transaction, the idea in the transactional language, but it certainly suggests that there was revenue in the first place, and we are reducing that revenue and offsetting expenditures and so forth, when in fact the budget, was wrong in both directions at the time. and this conveys a taking away of money and, you know, reallocating to most people, I would think. So, any, you know, I want a second yay for the Finance Committee if it can produce an overall budget that helps people follow the flow on a couple of pages. Then I think some of these very technical things don't matter as much or not as difficult to explain when we get back to explaining why we voted and what we were doing.
Any other discussion? Okay, we'll move to a vote. Joe, your advisory vote?
Aye.
The rest of the board, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? That motion passes. Ms. Kubza?
I move that the board amend the 2006-2007 budget by approving the increases and decreases in the revenues as set forth in chart number 4 and the increases and decreases in the expenditures as set forth in chart number 4.
Second.
We have a motion. We have a second by Mr. Vang. Discussion? Ms. Robarts.
I have a couple of questions for my own clarification. Well, the lines aren't numbered. So on the revenue part of chart 4, next to the last item is the reduction of fund equity in Fund 80, $107,547. I guess I have two questions. Does, if dollars remain in that fund equity line, what are those dollars?
The fund equity, this one is a transaction.
This is a Fund 80 equity fund.
So Fund 80, this is adding money to Fund 80 equity, which only can be expended by future action of the board.
This is adding money to
fund
80.
80 equity that only can be allocated by the board.
Well, I didn't understand it then. And the $107,000 comes from?
I'm sorry. This one comes from the equity.
It looked to me like this was fund 80 equity.
I was talking the expenditure side. The revenue on this revenue side, this actually reduces the amount of equity that we had placed there and adds it as a revenue.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
What I was asking is what remains then in Fund 80's own equity fund?
Non-equitable, what is in the fund balance after these transactions would be $98,000 after these Chart 4 and Chart 5 transactions.
In the Fund 80 balance, equity
balance. That's correct. Okay. Not in the Actually, it does go to the contingency fund by the offsetting transaction on the expenditures of the $107,547. That adds it to, and so my statement earlier was correct, that adds it as an expenditure, which, again, only makes it available to the board to allocate.
This was all
part of- would it be fair to say, you know, what we're doing is drawing down a separate fund balance, not the district's fund balance, but the district's community service and program fund balance from somewhere a little over 200,000 down to 98 by taking 107,000 and making that available for the district's operating budget?
No.
What are we making that available?
Makes it available for the board to use in Fund 80 activities. Let me walk through.
Well, I understand that idea. Let's not
walk. Well, let me walk through all the transactions as it relates to Fund 80. Because at the year end, at the end of June 30th, we had about $550,000 fund balance in Fund 80. There was just a balance.
$550,000 was still in the fund balance for Fund 80?
That's correct. And you had a unallocated reserve of $436,000. So what we've asked the board to do at the last and earlier is to allocate $250,000 of that fund equity to reduce the tax levy.
For that purpose.
And then
makes sense because we've basically overcharged.
That's correct.
That's the notion.
We accumulated through the tax levy and through transactions that took place at that fund.
And that's a decision we've already made.
That's correct. And then what this does is it brings it into, you know, through a series of transactions that are included within Chart 4 and Chart 5, you're further allocating some of that reserve and some of that contingencies. And you will end up with $98,000 in unallocated balance in Fund 80, which is a reasonable carryover, and you'll end up with $205,000, $632 is unallocated contingency in Fund 80.
Okay, so what this chart is supposed to tell me, not including what you just added, is that that movement is all still within Fund 80.
That's correct.
Could I ask just a couple other things, just so I understand how I'm reading the chart? On the top on the revenues where we have things like non-athletic co-curricular revenue and what looks like a positive $256,000, that's a number that's actually being reduced, right?
That's correct. Okay. Because the amount that we budgeted is school activity income of the 555, 554, which is a reduction about three lines below that. And then so that's a reduction in the budget revenues. We've increasing the amount.
This is similar to the last category I asked about with MSC or with the school-based activities. We're taking our prior estimate of non-athletic co-curricular revenue and bringing it down $256,000. And our prior estimate of athletic revenue?
No. It was 555, 554, which is the line that's labeled school activity income. That number includes both non-athletic co-curricular and the athletic co-curricular revenues, which is the 235 right below that. So those two numbers were zero in the adopted budget. And this is similar to this is similar transaction as what was on the previous pages.
So what appears in parentheses, and you might normally think is a deduction, is not really an overall deduction, but that particular category is being redefined as two other kinds of revenue.
That's correct.
That's correct.
Nothing happens. The net sum is still $75,000 less than what we projected based upon our experience last year.
I'll be done if I can just ask, on the expenditure side, the additional $2.1 million next to athletic budget correction. That is $2.1 million less will be spent for athletic budget?
Actually, that's...
Or is that...
Transfer.
That's up.
You need to go up one line.
Oh, I'm sorry. I am up a line.
The athletic budget correction was 129,204.
They wish it was 2.1 million.
They wish they would have had the 2.1 million and they would have gotten into it already, but we found double up budgeting that we made a correction to it of 129,000.
So the 2.1 is the money coming from the general to special ed.
That's correct.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Ms. Kubza?
Look at the first or the top two items, and those relate to the community service fund, and I believe maybe related to the comments earlier. Can you just explain those? And I don't see any corresponding.
The offsetting is in the 75 that is the transfer from the prior year carryover, which would be taken action and a receipt based upon the action on chart 5. Is a revenue that we did not anticipate because I thought it would have been realized last year. It was not booked last year, so it's a prior year obligation that is a new revenue of $75,000. The second one is the $75,000 for a current year, which would have been budgeted under miscellaneous revenue about halfway through the revenues, and you see a reduction in that area of about $310,000. So that's part of that $310,000 reduction.
You lost me when you went to the 310.
Okay. The increase of one of the 75s is offset by part of the minus 310 under miscellaneous revenue.
Halfway down.
Okay.
Part of that reduction is the 75.
And when you said, have we increased the amount of money we're getting from the community service fund Have we doubled it?
No. Well, we doubled it in this year's budget because we did not realize last year's.
Okay, so it wasn't in last year's, even though we...
Well, it was in the budget, but it didn't happen. That's why we have to carry it over and make that transaction under Chart 5.
Is it fair to say that a number of these amendments reflect making our estimates during our May budget more accurate based upon what our actuals were for last year?
Absolutely. Yes.
And also, there's a lot of things that we project, that we still have to project in May, that we get actual numbers for by the time we do this. State aid being one of those. We know, and state aid in all of its forms, whether that's categorical, general state aid, or whatever, we project that based on preliminary estimates from DPI back in May, but we don't know the actual amount.
But
we get to this, the amount is what we'll actually receive, and so we have to make that adjustment.
But putting aside that, you know, we don't know what we're getting from the state, now we may. Some of our projections, perhaps like on the interdistrict payments or building rentals, student fees, maybe we're too aggressive in our original budget?
Yes.
Yes, definitely.
Any other questions at all? Comments? Okay, we'll move to a vote. Joe, your advisory vote?
Aye.
The rest of the board, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion passes. Ms. Kubza?
I move that the board amend the 2006-2007 budget by approving the transfer of $1,890,620 from the $1,890,620 from the Fund 10 Equity Fund and $205,665 from the Fund 80 Equity Fund to the expenditures in Fund 10 and Fund 80 as set forth in Chart Number 5.
Second.
We have a motion. We have a second by Mr. Vang. Discussion. Ms. Kubza.
I have great concern about the change in our fund equity, and we had the opportunity to talk before this meeting. And we have previously been provided with a document that showed the change in our fund equity from May 2005 to May 2006. And I think, which had a pretty substantial decline in our fund equity, about
$2.8 million.
And this document, chart number 5, shows $2 million coming out of fund equity. So does that mean we're losing another $2 million on top of the $2.8 million last year?
No, actually, the money that is designated would be spent as carryover on this chart is already taken into consideration for the $2.8 million. If I could refer to the chart and just kind of walk through, I've highlighted some colors and added a couple columns, and I don't know if this will help or hinder the discussion, but Laurie had asked me to, Ms. Cubs had asked me to go through this a little bit. So you can see in this area, this is the gray of the balances as of the year end for each of the funds that make up our operating budget in that general fund, teach fund, debt service fund, and community service fund. As you can see, we had $20 million in the general fund, $1,084,000 in debt service, and the $553,000 that I mentioned for community services fund before. And that is down in total from where we were a year ago by $401,000. So our total fund equity was $22.3 million and is it now at almost $22 million. So we went down about $401,000. We then take that number, that total equity, fund equity, and distribute it. And that's the bottom part here. And we distribute it according, for example, here's the $250,000 that we allocated to reduce the levy in Fund 80. Here's the $107,000 that's on the sheet that's before you. Here are all these items. All here are part of the money that we're asking you to designate for carryover, as are these couple items up here. These two items, the 373 and 463, we don't designate as expenditure because they're trust balances that don't vary very much from year to year, but and are not liquidated. And what when we're done doing that, allocating, including the maintenance referendum dollars of $1,657,000, we have $18,783,140 that's in our operating reserve. We then take the next step to bring that number up here to $18,783,140, and we need to reserve for inventories. We reserve, as I mentioned, the $98,000 for community service, amount that's reserved for debt service. And then we come up to the amount that is specifically designated for cash flow. This is the amount from the $20,155,000 to the $17,374,000 is the effective loss of equity for cash flow purposes from 05 to 06. It includes, as I mentioned, all those transactions that are on chart 5. So the negative $2,780,000 would be the net result. To forecast, to forward, and I've added, you know, these two columns have not been anything you've seen. If all the transactions you approved tonight were approved and we were able to expend exact dollars and the revenues would come in exactly, the end result on the change from on your total equity still would be down, but that's because of what's happened within each of these funds. The goal is to have zero, or in this case, if I can get it to minus $1, have zero change on the designated for cash flow. And that's the target area we look at. And if everything comes in exactly, that's the number that will not change. And then shows forward, you know, taking forward, that we would have designated. Next year we'll be coming in with carryover. We anticipate about $1.3 million in maintenance referendum. We'll have some other requests to carry over as well. So that's an annual concern for us. And we include that in designating before we get to the calculation of dollars that are set aside for cash flow.
Ms. Cubs.
I have a number of questions, but this helped me clarify the chart 5. The board members would look at chart 5 and the items that are on there that were being asked to approve on the expenditure. All of those numbers are included under that column, column E, which is what's reserved out of the money that resulted in the lower equity, our decrease in equity. So after looking at this, I feel better that we're not double counting and that we're not, if everything goes as projected, our equity would not be going down. But I guess my concern was, why did our equity go down this past year, since we passed a bad balanced budget, the board did? What was it that made our equity go down by $2.8 million?
We target to come in at zero. The board passes a balanced budget, and that's what we work towards throughout the year, to bring revenues and expenditures in at that level. The standard, if you're within a 1%, you're doing really good, is what I hear from my colleagues. Well, we're well under 1% of variance. We find that still not acceptable. And, in fact, if I could push it 1% the other way, that would be really great so that we could build back equity back up. What we found in going through year-end, and I have one of the things that I pulled out when Laurie and I were talking, was the three-ring binders that we used to analyze and accumulate materials for year-end. We went through and filtered all the expenditures and looked at all the categories and really found no variances that we didn't expect within the expenditure area. When I'm saying we didn't expect, we expected utilities to come in about $340,000 under budget. We expected some other things to happen within expenditure lines. One of the items that's included within the expenditure budget is an item that we've called salary savings in the past, the balancer, it's the efficiency account, and that was budgeted at about $6.2 million last year. Negative expenditure. We felt that we had managed to make that up either through efficiencies, expenditures that were under budget, and revenues that were going to exceed budget. One of those being interest revenue at over $1 million over budget. So we had anticipated that, and in early indications for we were felt good about going into year end, where we had made that up and we were going to come in with that revenue and expenditures equaling. That didn't happen, so the next step we looked at is what caused that to not happen. And we took extensive look at revenues, and I went through revenues line by line, and Doug Johnson, who was at a meeting a couple of years ago, spent weeks going through every one of those, and we found that there were half a dozen to seven specific areas of revenue where we did not match the trend from year before and saw things change that we didn't anticipate. Tuition would be one of those, which was a few hundred thousand dollars. Special ed, high cost, low incident aid was like $450,000 what we received in the prior years. So we start adding those up. I come up to 1.6, 1.7, and I'm 2.8 off. So I get really close just on those few items. What we need to do, and through our efforts on this budget, these budget amendments, is we move those revenue expectations down. We've adjusted the expenditures throughout the budget, line by line, and we need to manage that. But we still have $5.9 million of efficiencies and savings and revenue expectations that we have to manage to during the course of this budget. So if we do all that, manage that $5.9 million, we'll come out with that zero.
One comment I might make is if the way we have attempted to deal, and every school district in Wisconsin has looked at this differently, the way we've tried to deal with maintaining the quality of our education as long as we could was to budget very, very aggressively, realizing that we had a lot of fund balance. There are other school districts that have taken the approach of actually allocating that fund balance $5,000 a year or something like that to offset what's happening with the revenue cap. We made the decision 7 years ago or so to budget aggressively and try to manage to that budget, believing we would use less fund equity over time than if we set aside a set amount of it. So that's been our approach. That fund equity has now come down to the point that we believe we can't do that anymore, and we will not bring you a balanced budget that is aggressive, particularly in where it gets into aggressiveness is on the revenue side, and how much efficiency we believe we can budget. So what the effect of that is to increase the amount you have to cut.
Yeah. Ms. Cubson.
One more thing. Because it took me a while to understand what Roger was telling me on the salary savings budget. Basically, this is my understanding, is that we prepare this budget with all the items, and if they all come in exactly as we project, we still need to save an additional $6 million last year. We needed to save an additional $6.1 million somewhere else because we budgeted under this CFO-COO account. We budgeted that we were going to find $6.1 million somewhere, without saying where, but that it was going to be we were going to find $6.1 million somewhere. And we didn't. We found whatever.
3.4, 3.3.
And we have, in this year's budget, we have the same type of thing. We have budgeted that we're going to find $5.9 million somewhere. So while we can look at all of our budget items and say, oh, we're doing great, we're right on budget for salaries, for transportation, for whatever, we can't just meet our budget. We have to do $5.9 million better than our budget.
That's news.
So that is, I think, one that, in my view, that looks like where this budget shortfall has come from, why the cash flow And we're going to be taking up some of the issues in the Finance Committee to see if there's a different way we can present some of this to be able to track it. But
and this is not a new item. This actually was in place in the operation of the district prior to my arriving back in the mid-90s. As revenue limits came in, you started to look at what was your realistically going to save in vacancies and
The big savings is in every, as you have positions vacant and you don't fill those, I mean, just the normal course of having to advertise and do those kind of things. The biggest part of it comes from that.
But I imagine as we've gotten more aggressive in budgeting.
Yeah, we've moved that out and moved it out.
Included it in the salaries, and now you don't have the same ability to.
That's correct. And we're budgeting our salaries based upon, you know, the adjustments we made this fall were the people that are in those positions, what they would make if they worked a full year. And that's what's in the budget. And hoping that we have, and our history has shown, our trends have shown, that we will have 30 positions vacant any given time. We will have 10, 15 positions that are not filled at various times other than that throughout the year. And those add up, you know, on an annualized basis. But we push that amount, you know, to more. We thought we had the amount balance managed last year. It didn't come through. And it's going to be an effort to manage to that number this year, but we're up for that challenge. But what it does is stops us from being able to, anything we save anywhere goes to offset that. Any efficiency we make goes to offset that.
Ms. Carson, followed by Ms. Robarts.
Do we have any way of actually identifying how much we saved in salary over last year over what we had budgeted? I mean, we didn't make the $6 million mark, but do we know what we did make?
And I don't have the number right now, but I'm going to do this. I could do it two ways. I can go back and pull it together, but I can give you my gut feeling because I've gone through all the accounts. My gut feeling is it was about between $2.5 and $3 million from salary savings related to all over, custodians, teachers, EAs, you know, moves, you know, and some of it was in benefits. So it's not just one salary. That's what I would you know, feel.
So something where you have a modified freeze, in
yes.
other words, that you fill but you don't fill right yeah. away, will add to salary savings.
Yeah. And I mean, freeze does, but just the sheer amount of time it
right.
takes you to fill a job when you've got. When you've got, like we do, 4,000 FTEs, and it just takes, when somebody leaves for whatever reason, it takes time to fill that position, and the time you're taking to fill that position. And we have about between 30 and 40 positions open every single day. So that just, and you're doing salary and benefits both, so that just adds up as you go forward. That's true of any organization, not just us. And we've just been as aggressive as we could possibly be there.
Ms. Robarts.
I'm sorry. It was just the computer
That's right.
going off.
That's right.
I didn't bring the information from last week with, or whatever it was, 2 weeks ago with me, that included your memo, Roger, about not going deeper into equity. So I wondered if you'd remind me if you're referring to total fund equity or total operating equity.
I'm referring to that number right there, the designated for cash flow. That's the number that we can control to as a district. Some of these other transactions, and what you carry over, what you don't carry over, really are part of what you expect to do, but this is the number we can manage to, because this is the one that's the number that's affected by the bottom line of revenues and expenditures. And that's the one, as I said earlier, if we come in exactly with the revenues that are is approved before you tonight, and expenditures is exactly there before you and approved tonight, that's where we'll come in.
And saving
$5.9 million, yes.
Okay. The other question was, we talked a little bit about the outside consultants who gave us a report back in February and made some projections. And as I remember them, they projected less of a drop in equity than we're actually going to have to make in this year, but a much steeper decline over the next few years than you're projecting.
Actually, their statement of change in fund equity was without balancing the budget. Their statement was, is if you didn't adjust for revenue limits and only continued your trends based upon the same service or continued cost budget. So they would have shown in first year a change of equity of $6 million to $7 million.
They show it going red immediately.
Yeah, red, red, and redder all the way down, because they did not adjust, for their presentation, what it would a balanced budget would do.
They didn't make any budget cut at all.
Right.
They just said, given the revenue cap and where you are now, this is what would happen to you.
And it's in, as we'd referred, if we would have, after the budget cuts and all of our projections would have come in, and we would have made up the tighter money that we had in the balancer account, and not had that we would not have the negative 2.78, that would have been zero.
One other question. We have some very major ongoing commitments to employees in terms of post-retirement payments of various kinds. Where is that money?
This is strictly a cash statement.
I'm not asking if it's on this page.
No,
I'm asking.
Yeah, let me follow through.
Where is it accounted for?
It's not accounted right now at anywhere because it's not considered to be an asset under the accounting system we're under right now. GASB 34 and GASB 35 requirements will require us to book any actuarial liability within the next year. And we're actually hiring an actuary firm to make that analysis. It's our belief that we really don't have any liability as it relates to post-retirement benefits.
Well, we have contractual promises going through 2009, for example, for teacher payouts when they retire.
I think
the unused sick leave that gets converted, and they're fairly substantial dollars.
I mean,
regardless of what the accounting jargon is, I'm wondering, in this system of explanations that come to the board on which we make various decisions, is that money accounted for at all? It's just not there.
No. It will be part of the notes under the audit in the future as the actuary will recognize those as being out there. It's a question whether or not they're considered a liability or a notation based on the language. That's a lengthy actuarial discussion that we'll be actually coming back to you in the future.
It's our belief that they are notations, which is different if there are school districts, for example, school districts that have provided lifetime health insurance for employees. Because remember, ours comes out of their sick leave and is paid off, so they've earned that. But there are school districts in Wisconsin right now that anticipate or already have booked $1 billion worth of liability.
It doesn't surprise me. I mean, because no matter how you describe it, at some point there are real dollars going, in terms of $30,000 over the first 3 years, plus they come back and work and so forth. I mean, there are some things that are not big employee savings. And, I'm not qualified, and I don't want to argue with people about what the accounting jargon is or where it should be or whatever. It just seems to me, in terms of going back to something Ms. Kubza, thank you for all that research. I've been on the board a long time. I did not see in the documents that I've seen that kind of built-in, basically sort of a structural deficit. I did not understand that we are, betting on making those kinds of savings at the same time that we're balancing the budget and arguing over, 5,000, 100,000, other kinds of amounts. So, in the future, I hope we continue to work towards something that gives us as board members, as decision makers, all of the pieces, however the technical description really ought to be.
I want to go back. This is strictly a statement of cash. When we get into statement of liability and assets, we'll be bringing back the audit report in early December. December 11th, I think, is what we're scheduled to come in. That will include the statement of equity as it relates to our buildings. I mean, our buildings are valued at far more than what our liabilities will ever be actuarially set at. So, in a business sense, even with booking our liabilities from our contracts, we'll be in very good shape.
If we sell our buildings.
If we sell our buildings.
You're not going to get
if you liquidate.
Any other discussion at all?
This one.
Yeah. Any other discussion? Okay. Joe, your advisory vote, please.
Aye.
The rest of the board, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? That motion passes 6-1 with Ms. Robarts voting no. Number 8, other business. There is no other business, and we will go into executive session in 5 minutes. Thank you very much, everyone. Appreciate it. In room 103. Thank you.